Welcome back. It is The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. We're brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. It is more Random Chuck Thursday.
Yes, not Hip Hop Hump Day anymore.
No, not today.
I just did this to bother Matthew.
Good, thank you. One of the great joys of doing what we do is getting to talk to people that we admire and respect. And today is such a day because joining us now is the incomparable Michael Wilbon. He needs no introduction, so I'm not going to give him one other than to say that there are very few people, and I think I can speak for Jimmy and Chuck as well, that admired more by us than Mike Wilbon. And this cover story that we're going to talk about is amazing, especially here in Lexington. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. That's very kind of you. I got to say something to justify that warm non-introduction.
Well, thank you. You know what? They can tell you that I actually pulled back a little because I didn't want you to think I was piling on too much. But
I want to make you blush.
Yeah, I would. Anyway, we're talking to you. You have there's a cover story on Devin Booker on ESPN with the video part of it as well as the writing, which is incredible by you, about Devin Booker. And I got to tell you, I had chills through most of it. The video, the column, the article that you wrote, especially here in Lexington. I mean, there were a lot of things that I think most people here don't know about Book. And man, is this cover story great.
Well, thank you. One of the things people don't know outside of Lexington, and I wrote about this because he tweeted about it at the beginning of the season, was don't call him Devin, it's Book, or D Book, and you used it naturally, but outside of greater Lexington, people don't know that. This guy is so prolific, he's averaged 27 points a game each of the last 2 years, and he's got a 70-point game to his credit, and yet people don't know his name, his preferred name. And so everything about him has sort of been more anonymous than it should be at this point of his career.
Can you take us through a little bit of his upbringing? Because, again, people, even fans of Big Blue Nation, we got to remember, we all know what he's doing now, but he was on a team, I think you said in the video, produced by our friend Frank Saracino. There were 9 guys on that team that went to the NBA. I mean, he was the 6th man of the year in the SEC, but he wasn't the Book that scored 70 points in the NBA.
No, he didn't even start. He didn't start at all. I mean, Cal had 2 separate teams, you know, so he had, you know, 9 or 10 guys, if not more. Book, as you said, was the SEC 6th man of the year. But he had scoring outbursts, and of course, scouts can go to practice, and what you would want to do when you're talking about a team as talented, as prolific as Kentucky's teams under Cal. And so they knew what Booker could do, which is why he was drafted 13th, even though he wasn't a starter in his 1 year of college. And I remember thinking, how good must they think this kid is at the time to draft him 13th?
Yeah, that was the tanks coming over the Hill team.
He justified it. Yeah, there were so many great players on those teams. I talk to him about it now. And sometimes if you're not in Lexington, and I don't cover college basketball anymore as I once did for a couple of decades, but I still keep up with particularly Kentucky. And Cal has been maybe our most frequent, you know, college basketball guest on PTI over the 20 years. And I follow them fairly closely. And, you know, you can still get it confused. And I'm sitting out there asking Booker, hey, wait a minute, were you there with Jamal Murray? Were you there with so-and-so? And he'll be like, no, they were on the team already when I came in. No, they were after me. And you're like, my God. And he still had 10 people that he could play 2 units. And so it was a very unique Kentucky team, and it did nothing but prepare him well for his professional basketball career.
Sean just mentioned it. we remember, I do a pre and post game show, and of course we do it every day on the drive, but that was the team that Cal made a comment about coming over the hill, that platoon deal that he did. And that we ran with that for quite a while with that team. One of the among the many interesting and great things in this cover story are that the whole story with Kobe, which that's where I really started to get chills. And by the way, he looks like a 12-year-old when you see him at Kentucky that year. I mean, he's 24 now, I think. He looks like a young adult, but he looked like a 12-year-old back then. And there he is, his first year with his idol, Kobe.
Yeah, and it was overwhelming for him. And sadly, we're just a year and a couple of weeks past the 1-year mark of Kobe's tragic passing. But there was a much more pleasant encounter that the book had with him when he was a rookie, and Kobe was in his last year. So this is 5 years ago, and Kobe had already noticed him. He'd already noticed Booker. He'd noticed, things about the way he plays, about his footwork, about his shot. And he signed two shoes to Book. One of them said to the young one, and the other one said, "Be legendary." Mm. And Kobe didn't just leave it to chance that Booker knew he was talking about. He spelled it out. And he talked about the grind of wanting it and chasing it and greatness, that is. And Booker remembers every nuance of the conversation. And it means a lot to him now. And it also influences. I mean, he's had a lot of basketball influences in his life. But his father grinding to get through a 15-year professional career. Only two of them were with NBA teams. And then Kobe Bryant later to notice him to say, okay, you got what this takes, but here's what you need to do. And, I describe in the piece how Booker's such an old head. And I said to him, do you resent being called that? He said, no. I've always been the guy who wanted to hear more stories, who wanted to listen to older people talk. I was at a dinner back early in the pandemic here in Scottsdale, and Book was there. And there were some of his peers there. There were people who were, in their early 20s. And he spent no time with them, and he spent a bunch of time listening to old dudes tell stories by a fireplace, literally. And I remember thinking, this cat is different. He's just a different kid. And he's thoroughly engaged. He's not looking off into the distance. He's not on his phone. He's thoroughly engaged in what is going on. And all of these things, Kobe had noticed. And I know people will look at this as encouragement. I started to think the way he has played and the way he's playing, particularly this season, that it's like an anointing, that Kobe knew exactly what he was seeing potentially.
That's incredible.
The great thing, speaking with Mike Wilbon, and another incredible thing, he has that Be Legendary tattooed on his forearm, and he even says he thinks about it. It will always be something that he strives to. And the whole thing in the cover story that you point out about them meeting and at the end of the game, Kobe saying to him, come on back. And instead of a 2 or 3 minute conversation with Kobe, he had a 15 or 20 minute conversation with him, just the two of them, and how that influenced him. The whole thing is just really amazing. And what he's doing now. And thankfully, the Suns, they got Chris Paul and they're winning some games, thankfully.
Yeah, they're in the four seed. They're in the four spot today. And, the West is so jumbled. You can lose two games and be, in the nine spot. But they're in the fourth spot. And we started to see hints of this before Chris Paul arrived via trade. In the bubble, when he goes up and he hits that shot to beat the Clippers and he goes up over Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, only, two of the best defenders, wing defenders in the league. But then to follow it up the way, so they've had runs of, they went 13-1 going back to the bubble, 8 in a row. And then they were 13-1 when you include this, first 5-6 games of the regular season. And now they've won 7 of 8. And look, Chris Paul's arrival here will expedite whatever Book was doing. And it will help that team because Chris Paul is one of those people always overstate a player's ability to make people around him better. With Chris Paul, it is not one bit understated. That's what he does.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great to see for Book. Michael, we can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes and talking to us. And we will certainly be talking about this great cover story about Book that you not only wrote, but the video is fantastic. And as I said, you're one of the few, really, that the admiration and respect we have for you is tremendous. So thanks for joining us, and we hope we can catch up with you again soon. And please say hi to Tony for me.
That's really kind of you. I appreciate it. I know that I spent enough time in my college basketball covering days with the Washington Post in Lexington to know how that pride oozes when a Kentucky alum goes to the next level and plays well, and Booker's beyond playing well. So maybe we can have this conversation on the eve of his first playoff trip, which I certainly suspect with good health from him and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges, they'll have that this year. So I look forward to it, and thank you for having me. I'm much appreciated.
All right. Sean, save that, because when we call Michael again, we'll play it back.
There you go.
It's all archived. Right. Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Michael.
Thank you.
The great Michael Wilbon. What a terrific guy, too. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's The Drive, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.
Brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.